You guys can start turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. Yes, it's 2 Corinthians 5 again. There's a lot to our identity in Christ. And today we're actually going to take a little bit of a different look, and we're looking at our identity in the kingdom of God specifically. You know, a good portion of Jesus' teachings were about the kingdom of God. He was constantly talking about the kingdom and how it related to everything else. He would use it in parables constantly, and a lot of it depended on who he was interacting with. For the farmers, he talked about the seeds. The fishermen, he talked about casting nets. Businessmen, he would talk about a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers. To the housewife, he would talk about a lost coin. He even likened the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins who took their lamps out to meet the bridegroom. See, understanding this kingdom mentality is an important part of recognizing the kingdom. One of the first things that Jesus went out preaching was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist, he was put into prison. And Jesus went out to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We are a part of that kingdom. Our main verses for today is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were pleading through us, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Passion Translation says, we are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. So, of course, the identity that we're looking at this morning is that we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ came to establish his kingdom here on earth. We're a part of Jesus' kingdom. We are his ambassadors. Every country or kingdom has ambassadors represented all throughout their other countries. It's a concept that we still see implemented today. The U.S., we have 189 ambassadors all throughout the globe. If you go to Brazil, there's an ambassador for the U.S. in Brazil. If you go to India, there's an ambassador for the U.S. in India. Likewise, many other countries have ambassadors here for their countries as well. Now, the easy thought of an ambassador and what I originally thought as an ambassador was just that we're a representative of the country that we represent. So when we say that we're ambassadors for Christ, that we represent Christ here on earth. And that's true. So we should act good because, well, we represent Christ. But it goes so much further than that. I read a book a few years ago, and it's called Rediscovering the Kingdom by Miles Monroe. And it completely reshaped my view of ambassadors. So a lot of the teaching from today, I actually was stuff that was formed from what I had read there. But he goes into so much about ambassadorship that it's just hard to think about the kingdom in any other way. A footnote for the Passion Translation reads this: to be ambassadors for Christ means that we are his diplomatic agents of the highest rank, set to represent King Jesus and authorized to speak on his behalf. We are the voice of heaven to the earth, invested with royal power through the name of Jesus and authority of his blood. I'll say everything I say today can just about be summed up in that statement. See, an ambassador is much more than just someone that represents their kingdom. This ambassador concept is shown throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament. God always and continues to use people to show his kingdom. Back in the Old Testament, he had the priests and the prophets. And then Holy Spirit-filled believers followed that. And so we say it all the time. God uses yielded vessels. So here's some main guidelines to the roles that ambassadors have. First one is that an ambassador is appointed by the king to represent the nation or the kingdom. So an ambassador doesn't appoint themselves an ambassador. They can't take the position on their own. They're not voted into power or into the position based on a campaign promise. They're directly appointed by the king to the role. They are directly chosen. So that means that when my Bible says that I'm an ambassador of Christ, that I am chosen by Jesus himself to be his representative. Jesus chose each and every one of you here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not ordained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." He handpicked you and I in this time. He knows our desire for his kingdom. And since King Jesus is the one who appointed us as ambassadors, he's the only one that can remove us as an ambassador. The society, the area, none of that can remove us as ambassadors. Only the king can. Jesus, when he came, he didn't look to the religious leaders to represent his kingdom. He came to choose personal representatives to show his kingdom with us as ambassadors. Second point of an ambassador is the goal of the ambassador is to influence the region that he or she is assigned to for his kingdom. The role of an ambassador is that he or she is on a mission. An ambassador could be considered a missionary. We have a sign right over there that says, "You are now entering the mission field." That is part of our ambassadorship. We're to inform the king people of what the kingdom is like, what our kingdom stands for. Our role as the church, as the ecclesia, is to influence the region that we're in. Some of you who are newer to New Life, we've done teachings before on the Greek word ekklesia. It's the word that in the Bible it's translated church. But it's more than a building. It's the ekklesia was the governing body of an area where decisions for the area would be made. where it was decided what would be allowed and what wouldn't be allowed, where things are decided for the region, governing declarations would be made. That is the word that Jesus used when he told Peter that on this rock I will build my church, his ecclesia. So our role as the church, as the ecclesia, is to influence the region that we're in, to decree things that we allow, to announce what we do not condone. This is why Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth, to be his ambassadors for his kingdom, to influence the region that we're deployed to. Paul was writing this to the church in Corinth. He had showed that region what it was like to be an ambassador himself. Showed them that there was much more than wealth and pleasure, the two things that that region really looked for satisfaction. Sometimes it seems like that's where we are today. But he showed them what it was like to have an influence in the region where God has called you to be and God has placed you in. So now this next aspect of an ambassador is where it starts to get a little personal on us, where we'll take a little time with it, because it's a shift about how you view things. An ambassador is only committed to the interest of the kingdom he or she represents. It's not about our own opinions or thoughts about something. It's about what the king says about it. I have a sweatshirt that it says, "It's not about me, it's about him." Our viewpoint means nothing in the kingdom. If you don't like what God says, you're in for a long road. Now, before you check out, let me say that this is something that's difficult to take in. It's hard for us to grasp, especially here in the U.S., where we have a democracy. It's a republic. It's a country where we have the privilege of voting for our elected representatives. But our vote doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. Our leader, our king, he is already in place. He's already in position. He's already in power. And his position is a permanent position. His reign is eternal. His reign doesn't stop because of death. They tried that once, and he overcame it. His reign won't be overtaken by someone trying to usurp the throne. Satan tried that, and he didn't succeed. Our king is still on the throne. Jesus didn't come saying, "Repent, for the republic is at hand." No, he said, "The kingdom is at hand." We need to stop thinking of it as a democracy where we get to have a way to shape it. The king is the one who makes that decision. It's quite the mental shift to go from thinking of our natural government here to seeing the eternal kingdom. Jesus made a big deal out of the kingdom. I've referenced it a few times, but let's look at the actual verse, Matthew 4:17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" We're talking about the kingdom. But let's look at the way the first part of this verse starts. From that time. Now, you guys that have been around a while, you know I like comparing versions. So the New Living the New International Version and the Passion Translation both say, from that time on. The New Living and the Christian Standard Bible both say, from then on. So it's not that it was just a new revelation, but a continuous aspect that Jesus focused on in his ministry. And he continued to preach to people because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. And that message is still what is carried out today. Crying out for America to change her ways because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As ambassadors, our role is to proclaim the kingdom's official position, not our position. To put our own selves to the side. It's the kingdom that's to be known, not our individual selves. A couple of verses that Jesus demonstrated the ambassador role while he was here as a man. John 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. John 5, 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Again in John 12, starting in verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me and gave me a command, that I should say and what I should speak, and I know what his command is, that is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, I so speak. This is the concept that Jesus constantly communicated of being an ambassador. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. So he took what he was hearing from God and proclaimed that as a man. He was demonstrating being an ambassador. He made it clear that it was business, kingdom business that he was doing. Not his own, but the kingdom. He showed us what it was like to put ourselves aside and submit to the one in charge. The model prayer even. You know, so many people were brought up praying it out of repetition, but when you start looking at the words, you realize that there's so much kingdom teaching just in the within the prayer itself. That he's showing what it was like to be an ambassador in the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Submitting to the kingdom, not our own. On earth as it already is in heaven. Again, recognizing that wherever you are looking for the kingdom, have influence, you are right there. As you read through the Gospels, you look at it from a kingdom mindset and you see it in a whole new way. See, our words don't matter because we don't have anything to back them up. One of the things about the ambassadors is that they know their policies. They know what their constitution says. That's their reference point. Ours is in the Word of God. Both his written word and his spoken word. If it says something that's sin, it's sin. It doesn't matter what we want to tell ourselves or if we want to downplay it to others that are looking at us as his representatives. It doesn't matter what groups try to get together to get more people on board to say it's okay. Even if you try to give the groups an official-sounding term like a denomination who are trying to rewrite what the Word of God says or what God says would be allowed, and then allow somebody to represent them in a prominent position, that lives contrary to kingdom life. There are major denominations right now divided over such matters. As ambassadors, we can't go against the king's command, though. We can't go against the king's words. We have to make sure that we're staying in contact with him and hearing what he has to say about today's issues. An ambassador is fully empowered and resourced by the kingdom that he is representing. John 20 and verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The kingdom gives us every resource we need. You're a fully committed ambassador. There's no doubt that the kingdom will be behind you to make sure that you're taken care of. We have the greatest resource of all, Holy Spirit. He's right there with us. He's right there empowering us with a full gamut of the kingdom. God already has our provision. It's already taken care of. So now you guys may know your Bible. Think about the prophet Jonah and him being an ambassador. But he wasn't really wanting to follow the king's command there. See, he didn't want to go and proclaim to Nineveh what God told him to proclaim. He was trying to put his own opinion in there that he didn't want to go because there ain't nothing good in Nineveh. That's an awful city. So I think it even says there, the great and awful city. Don't ask me how the two go together, but it's a big, awful city, and he wanted to have nothing to do with it. He was writing them out. He wasn't acting as a very good ambassador. And God dealt with him. Well, you're still going to proclaim it, and he still ended up going, just not the way you would have wanted to travel. But Jonah missed it, and he let his own opinion get in the way of being the ambassador that God wanted him to be. Here's one more thing that an ambassador that may rattle you a little bit here. An ambassador doesn't have dual citizenship with the area that he is sent to. The ambassador to the U.S. from another country is not a U.S. citizen. They're a citizen of Mexico or Brazil or wherever they're sent from. Likewise, our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have dual citizenship. Yes, you care for the region where you're sent to, but your allegiance lies with heaven and our King. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be times where the kingdom that we're a citizen of and the region where we're assigned to seem like they're in conflict with each other, where the stance on both sides are opposite. That's where we need to know where our loyalty lies, where it distinguishes us from an ambassador to the area that we're having an influence in. I'm not going to have you turn there, but think of Matthew 22, where the Pharisees were trying to catch Jesus in a trap. Because Jesus was proclaiming kingdom principles, so they thought the best way to try to get Jesus in trouble is get him to say that, hey, just defy Rome. So they're living in an area that's taken over by the Romans. They ask him a simple question to try to trap them. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? And what was Jesus' response? What's on the coin? Show me the money that's used to pay taxes. So somebody brought a denarius that had the inscription of Caesar on it. So his response was to give things to Caesar, which are Caesar's, but to God, that what's God's. Miles Monroe says it this way in his book, if Caesar asks for our money, we should give it because paying taxes is one responsibility of living in a free country. But if he asks first for our allegiance, that is where we have to draw the line. Whatever has the image of the country we're in belongs to that country. Whatever bears the image of God is God's, though. God's fingerprint is on so much, including people. Being an ambassador, there's a lot of responsibility that falls on us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all understood this. They were young men going about life when the Babylonians captured Israel and took them captive. They were moved to live in Babylon, but they kept their allegiance to God when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Daniel, even with rising in stature and authority in the kingdom of Darius, finding favor with the king, he refused to submit to them, ignoring his own relationship with God. And he was thrown into the lion's den. God's kingdom took care of them. God's kingdom backed them up when they made a decision for the kingdom, when they showed where their allegiance was. You know, we navigate today's world. It may mean making decisions that show our heart in the kingdom. We must stand up for what's right, even when it's not a popular decision. Even when we look foolish to the world around us. You know, the world is going to make worldly decisions. A sinner is really good at sinning. But with our citizenship in heaven, we make decisions based on the kingdom of heaven. I know I've seen it even in my own secular job that I have, where I make decisions. And I've made decisions that I know were not popular because of timing or cost, but it was the right decision. And God backed me up on it. He made people's hearts realize what the heart was behind the decision. And God backed me up. When we recognize the kingdom and that we're ambassadors, we answer to a higher authority and we look at today's society with a completely different viewpoint. We're here for the kingdom, representing the king himself. We are his ambassadors to wherever we place our feet. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of being your ambassadors, God. Lord, help us recognize your kingdom principles. Lord, help us get ourselves out of the way in recognizing you and your kingdom. Lord, if it's not of you, Lord, let us not proclaim it. If it is of you, Lord, let us shout it from the rooftops. Lord, we thank you for backing us in the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for having every provision planned. Lord, have your way in our lives. We thank you for the mission and the calling on our lives. We thank you for whatever it is that you plan to do, God. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.